Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 Minutes of Wisdom for Catholic Moms. I'm Sterling Jakewith, and today we are talking about Marian consecration. And I realized that I did a Striving for Sainthood class about that, but I don't know that I ever did a Coffee and Pearls about that. So I talk about it a lot, but I wanted to do kind of a comprehensive Marian consecration Coffee and Pearls so you can understand what the big deal is and why it's so important to me. So Marian consecration is a 33-day retreat that you do at home. You're just reading a little bit for each of those 33 days, and it ends on a Marian feast day. So on my website, I've included a link to those dates. You can see what they look like, and you can pick one that is either meaningful to you or one that is just coming up next. So I make my retreat every year on starting on October 19th, and I finish on November 21st, which is, I believe, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it's also my birthday, so I like that. Oh, it's the Presentation of Mary. I'm sorry. It's the Presentation of Mary. And so then I go to Mass on that day, and it's just now become kind of a special annual tradition that I have. I think that Marian consecration is so incredibly powerful that as soon as I went through it, I just knew that it was going to be part of my mission to get as many people to do that and to go through that process. And so you'll find that pretty much every talk that I give at a conference and in every book that I write, I will talk about Marian consecration and the importance of it. And so I wanted to talk about five things that I think were really important about Marian consecration to help give you a better sense of what it is. And some of you have been through it before, but I still think there's some interesting things. So first, number one, Marian consecration is not about worshiping Mary. And this was, of course, very important to me as a former Protestant. I didn't want it to feel hanky and weird, but it really didn't. Right in the beginning of both of the two books that deal with this, they talk about how Marian consecration really is consecration to Jesus through Mary. Because who knew Jesus better than Mary? Nobody. And so she is the single best possible person to lead us to her son. Father Michael Gately says the shortest and quickest way to become a saint is through Marian consecration. He might have been quoting somebody else when he said that. And so, you know, here's Mary. She spent his 33 years with him, and she's now queen of heaven. She's with Jesus all the time, and she has his ear. And so she makes all of our requests in a way more important to him. In Father Michael Gately's book, he talks about, you know, if we were peasants and we were making a great offering to our king whom we loved and revered, and all we had was these fruits and vegetables from our garden, he would accept them graciously. But if instead we gave them to the queen, and she put them on a solid gold platter and then presented it to the king, how much more wonderful would that offering be? And that's really what Mary does when we go through Marian consecration. She kind of amplifies both our good works, but then also when we go through suffering and we offer those up, you know, she amplifies that as well. And now it's a much more complex concept than that, but I think that gives us a good visual image of what's going on. And it is so impactful on your faith life. I mean, it's really just incredible. So the second thing is, I just want to talk about the two books that you can use to go through Marian consecration. The first one is 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately. And so each day you read a little bit, not much, it's less than 5 minutes. And then he has a nice prayer at the end. And Father Michael Gately uses four saints to lead you through this journey. Mother Teresa, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and St. Louis de Montfort. And so he talks about their lives as a way to kind of draw you into Marian consecration, to understand how it works and how impactful it can be. But that fourth saint, St. Louis de Montfort, he wrote the second book a long, long time ago. And his book is called True Devotion. So I did 33 Days to Morning Glory first, and it's really exactly what I needed at the time. It's not watered down, I promise you that. But it is more modern because it was written, you know, within our lifetime. And you can also watch videos of Father Michael Gately talking about this. And he uses a lot of, you know, everyday examples that feel really relevant to us. And I was a new Catholic when I got that book and went through it. And to be honest, I didn't even know what it was. I had just heard a bunch of people talking about it, and I was like, fine, whatever. I guess I'll do that. I thought it was like a Bible study. I didn't realize it was going to be this really big, you know, vow of giving your whole self to Mary. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And so that book was really, like I said, just exactly what I needed at the time. And I made my retreat for 3 years using that book. Every October. So then finally, I thought, well, I'll give this other book a try because I had heard some good things about it as well. True Devotion by St. Louis de Montfort. And wow, it was so beautiful. It's so deep and rich. And, you know, some people might say that it's harder to read. I don't know. I mean, now I really like those kind of meaty theological books. I don't think it was confusing in any way. It was just a little more intense and jam-packed. It's not really longer, but it's just, really, it's a much more tough love version than Father Michael Gately's book. And that's really what I need now, because St. Louis de Montfort, he really calls out the ways that you can screw up Marian consecration, which is why I enjoyed reading it after I had made my retreat already, because he talks about the ways in which we kind of fake our way through Marian consecration. And so every year I read, I think there's five different ways we screw it up. He doesn't say it like that, but that's what it is. And, you know, in different years, I struggle with Marian consecration in different ways. You know, maybe saying it but not meaning it, maybe not praying my consecration prayer every day. There's a prayer that you pray every day, kind of renew your vows. And I like that book kind of challenges me and holds my feet to the fire. And so I will probably always use that book from now on, unless I lead a group through the 33 Days to Morning Glory one. But again, I don't think it's better per se. I mean, I think they're both really impactful. I think they just reach different audiences. So I think you just need to be honest with yourself about where you're at and what kind of book you want to read. And they're both pretty inexpensive. So you could just pick them both up and, you know, start reading them each to get a feel for what they are and choose the one that you like the best. What I will say about St. Louis de Montfort that was confusing to me is that I started reading it and I was waiting for the 33 days part, and that's kind of in the second half of the book. So the first half is kind of making a case for Marian consecration, and then he puts in the 33-day retreat. And so I got it and started reading it on the first day, but then it took me many days to read that first part. And so what I would do instead would be to kind of bookmark where the retreat starts and then read a little bit of the first half of the book concurrently with going through the 33 days. So I just, nobody told me that. And so I kind of did it not in the most ideal way. And now I know that he has the same format that Michael Gately does, which is a prayer for each of the 33 days and a short one. So you can either read the beginning part before you start your retreat, or you can read it again concurrently with each of those 33 days. So I've linked both of those on my website. I've linked the really cheap True Devotion version. And the Kindle version is only 99 cents. But there are lots of nicer versions. And I'd like to get a nice leather-bound copy at some point in my life since I use it so much. And so, you know, that the version I linked is not the nicest version by any means. But some of us just need the cheapest version. So The third thing that I want to cover is that you should really not go through Marian consecration until you're absolutely ready. And I kind of stumbled into it, so I wasn't really intentional, or I hadn't discerned that I was ready for this. And again, I didn't really understand what it was, but I think God just really, the Holy Spirit just led me to that moment because it was what I needed at the time, and I did take it really seriously. So Marian consecration is not for wussies, right? It's absolutely going to make your life harder. And it takes a very brave and courageous person to do something that's going to make their life harder. I mean, anyone who chooses to run a marathon does that, right? They say, I'm going to run a marathon, and they know it's going to be a lot of, you know, sweat, blood, and tears to get you there, and it's worth it. But you have to be brave to choose it. And that's what Marian consecration is. You give away your freedom to choose how to offer up your suffering and your good works. And so right now, when you have a migraine, you can offer it up. You can, add that to the suffering of Jesus on the cross and participate in redemptive suffering. And you can say, you know, Jesus, I offer this migraine up for the salvation of my brother, who's a fallen away Catholic, you know? And that gives us a lot of religious warm and fuzzies when we do that. It makes our suffering feel meaningful, and we can tie it to something that's important to us, and that's very powerful. But when you go through Marian consecration, you acknowledge that Mary knows who needs that grace the most. So you may still go through the motion of saying, I'd love this to be offered up for my brother, but you have given away your right to say that that's for sure what's where you want it to go. You say that Mary is going can use it whatever way that she wants. And in the books, they talk about how, you know, someone may be on their deathbed and Mary may use your suffering for the conversion of their soul right before that they die. And of course, in that moment, that is much more important. And so we just have to trust her that she knows what needs to be done. And so we give her the ability to distribute our good works and the grace of our suffering. So we call her the mediatrix of grace, right? She gets to mediate where these things go. And that's a big deal. I mean, Marian consecration basically is like saying, I'm going to be a slave to Mary for the rest of my life, because I know that that's the best possible way to serve Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean we don't pray to Jesus and talk to him all the time, but our number one line is to Mary, because we know that that's the most efficient way and the best way for us to do what Jesus really wants, right? So he's always our end game, but we're just using her to get there a little bit faster and a little bit more surely. The fourth thing is, I don't believe that children should go through Marian consecration. As Marian consecration has become more popular and we're talking about it more, people have mentioned doing it together as a family and doing it with children. And because of what I just said, how serious Marian consecration is, I don't think children should do that. And this may be an unpopular opinion. I don't know. I think that we should talk to children about striving to be like Mary, and being and emulating her humility and her endless service to the Lord. And I talk to them about my consecration, but I don't believe children should do it until they're old enough to understand what it really means. Because otherwise, it's not real anyway. You know, we wouldn't allow 7-year-olds to become nuns, okay? And I don't think we should allow 7-year-olds to make their Marian consecration either. Now, I don't know what age I think that they should be able to do it. That's probably different per kid. So I'm hoping that as they get older, I'll be able to see and they will be able to discern when they're ready. You know, for example, there's kind of a minimum age of when you make your vows as a nun, but Saint Therese knew at a younger age that she wanted to do it. I think God led her to that decision, and then she sought out a pope and asked if she could go early and got a special dispensation for that. So there are no hard and fast rules when it comes to that, but I certainly don't think children should do it. Now, there are two books about Marian consecration geared toward children, and I really love both of them, actually. I just don't go through the part where I lead the children through making their vows. I use the books to just explain to them how truly amazing and beautiful Mary is, and that they can talk to her all the time, and that she knows the best way to serve Jesus, and they can begin practicing that before making vows. I've linked those, by the way, on my site. So the first one is called Leading the Little Ones to Mary. It's an older book. And then the next one is a newer book, Marian Consecration for Children by Carrie Gress. So I really like both of those books, even though I'm kind of against the concept of, you know, kids making their retreat. So the last point I want to make is, for those of you who have been through Marian consecration before, a lot of you have probably stopped doing your consecration prayer. Just print it out, put it on your bathroom mirror or in your car or wherever, and just resume, right? I love that concept. Just resume. Just do it again. And I believe it's a good idea to make your 33-day retreat every year, because every year it's going to bring you into the fullness of Christ more than you are. And every year you're going to experience a different facet of, you know, the diamond that is Mary. And I like to make my retreat every year at the same time, but if you're in a struggling season right now, a season of survival, just maybe you just need to do it, I want to say, out of order, out of time, you know. So for me, instead of doing it in October, maybe I'm having a hard time and I'm going to do it in February instead, right? Don't feel locked down to the tradition of what you have done. Use it as a tool. That's what Mary wants. So I think clearly you get the sense that Marian consecration is a big deal to me. And again, I believe that we need to get as many people as possible to do this. And I think this is really the best way that we can battle the darkness in our world right now. I mean, I just feel it closing in around me. And I keep telling my husband, I want to move out into the country, but I know that that isn't really going to solve this problem of the darkness kind of crowding out the goodness of our culture. That's going to happen anywhere. And this is the light that we need to shine through, right? I kind of think this is so geeky, but I kind of think about it like how Frodo has that light from the elves and uses it to repel the spider. That's how I feel like Marian consecration is. So you are welcome to join me. I'm going to be starting my retreat on October 19th and finishing on November 21st. You're welcome to pepper me with questions or comments. Absolutely expect spiritual dryness and spiritual attacks. So the first thing that happened to me was I immediately lost like this warm, fuzzy feeling that I had in my prayer life when I made my retreat the first time. And so that was really kind of the opposite of what I expected to happen. So I just want you to know that that's common. Spiritual dryness and spiritual attacks. Crazy stuff happens every time I make my retreat. I'm almost scared to do it. But then, of course, the whole point is to be brave for Christ, right? So I promise you it's worth it, and that the light at the end of the tunnel is worth it, and that you will experience this great warmth that wraps you up like only the love of a mother can. It's absolutely worth it. I have linked four other articles on my website that I've written about Marian consecration, so you can check those out if you'd like more information, including some information about one of the 10 forms of Mary's humility, including universal mortification, or values. Maybe it's her 10 values. Anyway, it's awesome. So you can check those out. So thank you so much for listening to Coffee and Pearls. I'm glad to be back. Season 3, woohoo! And a lot of you emailed me and said how excited you were, so that was really nice. Thank you. And I appreciate kind of going on this journey with all of you again. So thanks so much and have a blessed day.